My whole philosophy was from when I was a child. I said, this planet is so beautiful, nature is so beautiful, that there should not be any wars. How can there be any wars? And there was an elderly man called Robert Schuman, who became the minister of many things in France, and he created a united Europe. I asked him, I said, what made you do what you did? Namely, you got rid of 25 borders in Europe. And you know what he told me? He had the same story as mine. He said, I was born at a place where Luxembourg, Germany and France got together. Mm-hmm. And I was given one Christmas a new bicycle. And wherever I went with my bicycle, I was stopped because they had a border. And I swore that time that if in my life I will have the opportunity of suppressing these borders, I will do it. And he said, that's exactly what I did. I have suppressed the borders in Europe. And Europe is much happier as a result of that. But it was his, it was like my own reason was, life is so beautiful. I always said as a kid, life is divine. I looked at the sky. I went to meetings to hear about the beautiful life we should have on this planet. And I wished, I prayed that all my life I would be able to do something for a very happy, peaceful world. And you know, it became a reality. And I remember that at one point during the war, I was arrested by the Germans because I wanted to cross the Atlantic and to not get into the German Hitler army. And I was in a prison, and it was horrible. It was a cellar in the city of Metz, and there was only a window to let a little air in, and there were, normally you could have two or three prisoners, and they had up to 40 or 50 just pressed once against the other, and waiting until they are interrogated seriously. And I said, my God, this is horrible. And would you be able to be happy in a situation like this? And I said to myself, well, you should try. Why don't you try to be happy in one of the worst circumstances of your life? And then I had an idea. I got a pencil from one of the boys from the people there, and I went towards the door, and on the door, which was a new, very good door in that cellar of that building, I began to write a novel on top. That I fell in love with a beautiful girl in the mountains of Himalaya. And you know, and I wrote it, and I wrote it, and I wrote it, and I completely forgot that I was in prison. So that I gave to myself the proof that even in the worst circumstances, there is always something which you can do with your brain and your heart, not to be affected and to say, oh, they're going to kill me, that's going to happen, this is horrible, that will last so many days, etc., etc. And finally, after about a week, they let me go because I couldn't find anything against me. But I've never forgotten this, that I was able to be happy even in a prison. People who heard me speak years ago, they said, oh, Mr. Miller, we heard you speak. It was wonderful. We had this conference on top of the mountain in South America, and it was so intelligent, so great. And I said, do you remember something? One particular item? No. Oh, you don't? No. And then at one point, a lady jumped up. I know. What do you know? I know your harmonica. And since that time, I have my harmonica in my pocket. And whenever people get involved in something and it has no result, At the end of it, I said, you know, we didn't do much in our conference, but let me play the harmonica and hope that we will have a beautiful, better life. But it's working, you know. There's more and more closer cooperation between the countries. Of course, it's difficult because they were all born at the time when the animals were born. And they went around and settled down, so they had to create a language, they had to create a god or a religion, and they were living. There are 2,000 schemes like this lived in isolation or in wars. They make wars against the next one if the next one was a little bit too dangerous. And now suddenly they are all brought together, and to get these languages and these religions together is not easy at all. This is something which I have noticed in the United Nations. It is when you have a meeting of the General Assembly, you have these men mostly who are very intellectual. They have many small ideas, big ideas, all kinds of things, and sometimes it becomes to a point that they begin to oppose each other and really to have a mess in the United Nations. And I have taken it as a rule to say that in every United Nations meeting there should be a girl or a woman or a gentleman who would start with, at one point, with a joy or with a happiness. I would like to have happiness be something absolutely essential for the whole world and not in relay, because when you are happy, then you are fully operating. And it's happening. You have more and more happiness in meetings around the world. And not only happiness, what is even as important as happiness is smile. And it's smiling is the great thing of women. So when you have women who smile, it creates a different atmosphere. So that we have to elevate our efforts to have peace with the concept of happiness. I have induced my wife, who never wrote a book, to write a book on happiness. And she's now quite happy and it works on it. And we ought to have a whole literature of happiness. And in most governments it's put on the side, you know, maybe a little bit, no. I think the head of a country should make a speech at the end of the year and speaking about the happiness of the people. By the way, you had recently an example that made quite some noise in the world. It is when they had a meeting of heads of states and they wanted them to have a plan for the future. There was the president of Bhutan who said, you want me to give you the extent of the economic whatever is this complicated things? I don't know what it is and I don't want to hear of it. What I expect from my people is to give them happiness. And I'm recommending very, very strongly that we should, in the whole system of the world, we should give a very big opening to happiness, to smiles, to love, to good things that happen. People take an initiative, which might be wonderful. The wonder. And we should not limit everything to economics and to politics and so on. Bye.
Are we all smiling? Yes. What a way to leave it. Thank you so much for doing that. Before Barbara talks, I want to thank the Yellow Group. You outdid yourself with the food today. Thank you very much. And next week, if you have a blue sign on your card, you are up for next week. All right, color group for next week is blue. And then I noticed this. We all have this at your table, but on the bottom, the last paragraph talks about Dr. Robert Orr. And we have Dr. Robert Orr's mom right here. Bonnie Orr is the mother of the fellow that's mentioned at the bottom of this. He's the assistant. Hey, Bonnie, you got. He says, "Be bold when tackling world issues." All right. So, Bonnie, it extends to us, your little boy. Thank you.
On the bottom of your second page is my email, so that if you're in the mood to join the United Nations, please do. You don't have to be too active, but you sure have to be a member to get that volume of us who are smiling and who are relieving in happiness. That was Robert Mueller. Did you notice that was pre-drought? That was my backyard before the drought. I showed that same video in Japan, and I don't know if they were clapping for the banana trees or my husband, because they had never seen banana trees like that. And that was before the drought, you know. We could grow bananas in our backyard. We had bunches hanging everywhere. So I wanted to share that with you, because I wanted to show you what enthusiasm looks like. This is about 4 years before he passed away. He was still enthusiastic in his 80s. It doesn't matter your age, it's your enthusiasm. What does enthusiasm mean? With God. With God, filled with God. And so that was my Robert. I spent those years with him, and we were quite happy doing peace and making the world a better place to be. So with that, I'm open for questions, comments. I had some fabulous comments during the break.
We have to have a protocol for asking questions.
And the protocol for asking questions is?
Please come up to the mic and just ask it right there, and then...
Wow, you're pretty efficient there.
Well, or I give you a head mic.
No, you know what? Tom is going to get that orchid on the table. Do you know why? He is an angel. I don't know if you know that. but I brought that to his attention yesterday, and I get this email. This is really hard, Barbara, but I'm going to do it. And I said, you always do it, Tom. You're just such an angel. So I said I had to give him that special orchid. So that's for you, Tom, for all the times that you bail me out at the last minute. And I'm sorry I did it, but I just found that. As I was doing my research for International Day of Peace, this just popped up. And I said, 10 minutes. And I listened to it, and I said, we have to share it. Questions, answers, and comments.
I'm going to do what Tom did.
Hey there, Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Barbara. Y'all know her. She's Miss Symphony. Symphony.
Listen, I went to the sex trafficking talk last Friday also, and there were probably 200 people in that church. I mean, there wasn't an empty seat. And I was greatly moved by that. And I got the DVD, excuse me, and I thought if people were interested, maybe when this session ends, we could show it, you know, for like the 11th week or something. But it was really moving and really a helpful insight. And I had the privilege of going to the safe house that they've created up in Refugio 2 years ago when it was just basically a thought. So I was really glad that it came to be where they could help girls, you know, get away and healthy again.
What was your impression of the movie?
Well, they kept saying that Santa Barbara is a major thoroughfare, but it wasn't shown, it didn't show that in the film, but the talk afterwards, so.
Yeah. Thank you, Barbara, for sharing that, because it is true. On Milpas Street alone, they have a massage parlor that it says, and I'm sorry if I offend you, but this is truth. This is reality. Some of the things I tell you are things that maybe you haven't heard before because you don't want to hear them, because it's not nice. I mean, they offer for $40, you can have a massage. Oh, sorry. For $40, you can have a massage. For $60, you can have a happy ending. What's going on there? These girls don't even speak English. What's going on? And so we're on top of these things. We pay attention. Pay attention. It is here. Barbara made the comment that sex trafficking is prevalent here. I don't know how prevalent it is. We have to train the police to handle it when they find them. These kids are scared out of their wits. They're afraid somebody's going to shoot their brother. They threaten them with things like that. They're going to take your mom down. These are kids. These are kids. They don't have their frontal lobes developed yet. And it's like we're giving kids alcohol when we give them these iPhones sometimes. They're not ready for it. They're not ready for it. So anyway, long story short, we're training with Eden Steele's work. We're training police officers and highway patrolmen to recognize scared kids in cars. We ask, hey, is that your kid? Is that your cousin? How do you feel? You ask, how do you feel? And you can get to a bottom of a lot of things. Sometimes it's more dangerous than you think because it's run by the gangs. And again, I tell you that, but not because I'm scared, but because you need to know. They make more money in 1 hour on the internet with sex trafficking and pornography than in a whole bunch of selling cocaine. So it's money, 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 money. When the power, love of power, or the power of love overtakes the love of power, we'll have a new world. But until then, we have to face what's reality, and our kids are facing a lot more than we did. We were running around in pedal pushers and big earrings. And my mom said, how could you dress like that? And I thought, geez, was that nothing? Big earrings and pedal pushers. Now, this is the time when you can ask questions or make comments, so please don't hesitate. Here comes my friend who took me to La Cumbre Country Club. Thank you.
Hi, Barbara. I would love to get to know better my seatmates and maybe some of you who are in round tables also would like that. Would you be able to facilitate us with a question? Maybe we could share our thoughts among us for 5 minutes or so. Excellent. Oh, I love it.
What our plan was today was to do the next 20 minutes of the practice of what the methodology is in this book on revolutionary conversations. We're only going to take you from the first step, but first we have a question.
Good morning. How do you define diplomacy, especially in the face of hostility and rejection?
When you think about the word diplomacy, I always pull out my Google. I always ask Google, what do you think diplomacy is? And then my whole being takes on that meaning, and then I translate it into myself. Diplomacy to me is being present. Being present. Hostility is standing in the impossible. There's nothing worse than standing in the impossible. When we were taking on Fukushima, that was impossible. Can we eat the fish that are swimming in our ocean? Are we safe to go to a fish market and buy the fish? That's swimming with those fish in the impossible. Diplomacy is being present without your opinion, without your judgment. Diplomacy is being that gift to that person in that situation. You may have to use the tools from our book. I need some help. I really want to understand the pain you're going through. That's not a judgment. That's a question. You want to stand next to them, come alongside. Okay, any more questions? Because we're going to go to the practice. If you will look at a neighbor next to you, you're going to get to practice the first tool in the share tools. It's called stop. We have more tools, only five, but they're so wonderful. I'll give you an example. If Sig says to me, I think we should do something, blah, 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 or whatever, and I'll say, may I stop you a minute? Can I ask you a question? I want to really understand what you'd like to get out of that trip you plan to take. I want to know where we're going and what we're going to do. And he says, okay, and then we have a conversation. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I want you to think of something that you really like today, and you're going to explain it to your partner in two or three sentences. And they're going to stop you and say, I really want to understand that. Can I ask you a question? That's all you're going to do. Then you're going to stop after 3 minutes, and I'm going to ask the other person. It's hard to stop somebody when they're talking. But if you learn to stop, like why do we stop at a stop sign? Because you don't move until you're safe. The same with conversations. You don't continue the conversation until you feel it's safe to go forward. Are you ready? So you pick a partner, go next to the person sitting next to you, think of one or two things you like today and tell them, and they're going to stop you. I'm going to tell you when to say stop. Just say stop. That you got out of today. Now, Mark Fowler is going to walk around and help, and so is Donna. Find one thing you like today and explain it to someone. It was in 82. I made the mistake. It was wrong. I have to correct that. No. It was 82. I'll change it. Okay, stop and let the change partners, and they're going to tell you something they learned today, and then you're going to say stop. Now, Mark said, why don't you teach them the second tool, help? I need some help. Let's just, okay, second partner, just tell the other person. They're going to stop them. Ready? Go. Okay, I'm going to stop you. The reason I had you practice that, and you can just listen if you're still talking, go ahead, is because stop is the doorway to peace. You stop yourself from giving them an opinion, and you stop that person from, as I would call it, steamrolling into explaining. Stop is that doorway that allows you to stop yourself and say, what am I hearing here? And allows them to really understand who you are and you understand who they are. So stop is that doorway. If you're in a conversation with somebody and you're not sure where they're going, may I stop you a moment? Not like, I'll give you the opposite. Boy, I sure don't understand what you're talking about. Could you imagine that creating peace in the family? But if you say, can I stop you a minute? I really want to understand what you're saying. What a difference. And so that's what our book teaches. And it took us 5 years to write that book because we didn't want to come up with a book that couldn't be implemented instantly. And so with that, now, pretend you're out there and you're going to go home and you're going to tell somebody what happened today. You're going to practice telling what happened today. Who was Barbara God? Tell you whatever you want. But they're going to ask you to clarify. So same partners, but this time you're going to go home and tell your family. This is the hardest thing of going to a conference because you go home and you're so high on what you heard and you're ready to change the world. And your wife says, the refrigerator's broken. Out goes the peace. In comes reality. And so you say, I hear you. And then you stop. Stop yourself from saying, oh my God, what am I going to do now? You stop yourself and say, oh dear, okay. And then later you find the time. And then when the people are ready, you bring up the idea of, I learned a few things today. Would this be a good time to tell you? Would this be a good time to share it with you? Ask permission. Is it a good time? It might not be. Oh, hell, what do you think? The refrigerator doesn't work and we have no ice cubes. But that's what the reality is. That's the reality. And you say, well, maybe later. Okay, ready? You're going to go home and you're going to tell somebody about today. Ready? Go. And they're going to stop you and then we're going to change and then we're going to sing, let there be peace on earth and let it. Okay, ready? Go. Time to change. I'm sure you're already ready to change. Change partners. No, don't do that. See, you're listening. Change the person who's talking.
She didn't say change partners.
Change your... Yeah, change who's talking. But Tom, you can do anything you want.
You're biased.
Yeah.
Are we on the same topic?
Yeah, you just change who's talking.
So, in other words,
you've got to tell him or who. You'll figure it out.
You want to tell me what you heard today? I was home doing the dishes. I have no idea what you saw.
Oh, that's so cute. They're really getting into this. Thank you. They're getting into this. Thank you. Hello, Mark.
Okay, we are ready to stop. Ready to stop. And now I'm going to. I just gave you a very simple example of a very powerful process This is a very powerful process. And I would like somebody to share how they felt when they had to stop themselves for peace so that they could stop and feel what was going on, be present in that moment. Anybody brave enough from this side of the room how it felt when you stopped, or from this side? Because if we share, then we'll all have that moment together. So if anybody'd like to stand up here and tell us how you felt when you did stop, I would be honored to listen. Okay, you're stopping yourselves too soon. Come on up.
I can't get up.
Oh. Okay, Sigwani, do you want to say how it felt when you stopped yourself, being the example here? Right over here, honey.
I stopped because I run into the fact that you're such a good speaker. And I know you don't want to hear that, but the fact is that you are a marvelous speaker, in that even at my age, I understand every word that you say, every syllable and every announcement. So anyway, I
feel to stop your partner over there when you were talking about.
Well, we both came to the same conclusion. We both are hard of hearing at our age. That's a fact of life.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you. Okay. Jackie?
Actually, I felt good. And my thought after that was, people ought to stop me more often.
When you stop, you are, in the moment, authentically receiving the other person.
When I stopped, it reminded me of when I didn't stop the morning before, and how I could have stopped and had a completely different circumstance. So I'm very grateful. And then now, when I stopped, I got to listen to a story that I would have never heard if I hadn't stopped. And it was a really deep sharing with someone. So I'm very grateful.
Thank you. This is one of my first experiences with STOP. I had been learned about revolutionary conversations. Can you hear me okay? I guess I have to stand with my back to you, which is very strange. Now that we're ready. I am a CPA, and I had a client that's been my client for a very long time, and he called me up, and he was all excited about this transaction he was going to do, and he was talking 1,000 miles an hour, and I had no idea what he was talking about, but he just went on and on and on. He's shooting all these details to me, and he wanted me to do this, he wanted me to do that, and I just said, excuse me, just a minute, I really want to hear what you're telling me. I know it's very important to you and to me, but I have to ask you to stop and slow down a little bit so I can get on board, because you've been thinking of this for weeks, and I'm just now hearing about it. From there forward, our conversation was fantastic, and I could tell that he really appreciated that I was that interested, that I asked him to stop so that I could hear and understand and better help him. So it's very powerful.
I think the first feeling I had when my partner said stop was that I'd done something wrong. I don't know if any of the rest of you felt that way. And then I listened, and when she explained why she said stop, or what more information she needed, then I realized that it wasn't like my mother telling me I've done something wrong. But that was my first instinct.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. That's why we start with stop. I think this is one interesting microphone. It's so sensitive. That's what we did wrong. We were moving the bass. Okay. Anybody else want to share their stop? Well, In the book, you will find these five things that will change your life. We just did the workshop for the United Nations Association because my people on the board had read the book and they said, we need to practice. So Mark, Donna, myself, and Noel, the other co-author, did a workshop at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church called Change Your Conversations, Change Your World. And in one day, they felt like they were ready to go out and use the share tools, which are very easy to do, but hard to practice. And so we ended up, each of us, getting a share pal so that we could practice together. But I wanted to read something to you. First of all, I want to thank you all for being here. I always learn as much as I give to you from the conversations I have during the breaks. And when Robert passed away, I took a quote from his book on Most of All They Taught Me Happiness, and he said this: as for myself, when that moment will come to close my eyes on this beautiful planet, my heart will thank and honor all of those who gave me life, the warmth of love, and him who permitted me to devote my earthly sojourn to peace, justice, and the betterment of the human condition in one of the noblest organizations ever born from the heart of man. I will go in peace and joy, thankful for having even been blessed with the miracle of life. I will have loved my life with passion, embraced it with fervor, cherished every moment of it. I will have contemplated with wonder the sky and its running clouds, my brethren the humans, my sisters the flowers and the stars. I will have feasted unceasingly on the treasures of life in all of its forms. I will not have dwelled on the mediocre ambitions, vain hatred, and useless complaints. I will depart with the belief that there is no end to the flow of life in the universe, that there is no death, but only an unceasing change of events. And that's my Robert, now my Sig, and all of you who have been part of my life. I thank you for being here today. I thank you for knowing that we're given a short time, and this is our most precious time to work for peace, to use stop as appropriate in certain situations, to realize that every conversation is the beginning of peace. As we come from gratitude, as we come from knowing that gratitude is a prayer for wholeness, and as you begin to look at things and write them down, your wisdom, you don't want to die with it in you, write them down and remember that each of us was born with a destiny. We're no accident. We're here on purpose. Thank you for listening today. Thank you. And Judith, do you close?
We thank very much Barbara's wisdom and words, and we want to tell you that the next week's speaker is the founder of the World Business Academy, Ronaldo Frutoco. So we'll see you next Thursday right here. Thank you.